The Bible reading is Psalm 28. No, it isn't. It's Psalm 8. And can be found on page 546. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Our God is an awesome God. He's the everlasting God. He is powerful beyond description. He is and always has been. The very definition of God is that he is all-knowing. He's always existed. He is everywhere. And there is nothing that he cannot do. He is all-powerful. This is the God whom we serve. I want to reiterate things I've said in the past, and much of this I suspect you will know. I just want to, it's good sometimes to go over things again. God is three in one. We have Father, we have the Logos, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always points to the Logos, who became Jesus, the man Jesus, when the Logos took flesh. And the Logos, Jesus, always points to the Father. There is unity, perfect love, perfect unity, but there is a pattern within the Godhead. And he was complete in himself, in his love and perfection. But God decided that he wanted to expand what he had. And so he created. And all that has been created is for the purpose of bringing us, human beings, into that relationship, that we might be part of that wonderful relationship that there is, always existed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are to be drawn into that. That's the whole point. And God created all that there is, including all the spiritual beings. And that included the angels and archangels, Gabriel, cherubim, the seraphim, the angels, all that there is in the spiritual world that we can't see. The reality is that they were there, created, and the world was created, and then everything in it was created, and the angels had their part to play. The sun and the moon, interesting, the sun wasn't actually created until day four. Light was already in existence, and then everything came into being, and then on day six God created Adam, man, and he created him. And when he had created all that, everything in existence, including all those millions and millions of galaxies out there, God does not need any of that. That's all for us, because we human beings are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are not naked apes, as Desmond somebody or other said. Desmond Morris, that's right. Yeah, I said it 9 o'clock. And other people, you know, who say that we are just animals, and the whole thing is that we're nothing. And we're just one little tiny cog in the hold of evolution. Well, that's what the world says, but God says we are special. And on day six, after he had created everything, he said, it is very good. So I can say to you, my brothers and sisters, that we human beings are supposed to be in a world and an environment and a universe which is, as far as God says, very good. And so our ancestors, Adam and Eve, were very good. All that were in the creation, all the angels, the archangels, and every heavenly being was very good. But then something happened. So we know that God controls everything, the whole of the created being, the whole universe, and all that we can see, and the Hubble telescope looks out, you know, sort of 15,000 million light years away, and they're trying to say that, well, they think that's the beginning of the Big Bang, but in fact, they still can't see it. Fully formed galaxies way out. They've got really no idea. They're going to flounder until they get to the point where they actually have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and God is the creator and sustainer of the whole universe. It's the only way. It's the only way that fits. But nevertheless, there's God who has done all that for us. It is for us. We're special. We human beings are special, and we are designed, this is the ultimate design, we are designed to have this intimate relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be in there. That's our destiny, and that has not changed. God has still got that in mind for his creation, for the pinnacle of his creation. Now we need to remember that. It's very interesting that there are a number of different things. I look at the archangels and I think that there are three. I think Lucifer, he was in charge of worship. And then there was Gabriel, he was a messenger angel. And then there was Michael, he was a warrior angel. Sorry, is warrior angel. And there is a triunity, interestingly, they're in that upper angelic group. And then in us human beings, we're tripartite. Do you know what I mean by that? I mean, we're made up of three parts. There's our mind, there are a body, which bleeds if you poke it. And then there is something, a part of us that we can't see, but is part and parcel of us, an important part and parcel of us, our spirit. We are spiritual beings. Because we are made in the image and likeness of God. There at the beginning, on day six, God formed Adam out of the chemicals of the earth, and he made him, and then he was inanimate, there was nothing there, it was just chemicals, and he breathed into him, and he became a living being, spiritual being. And I suspect that Adam and Eve actually probably used a lot more of their brain than we do today. I think God has shut it down. He was not primitive in any way, shape, or form. They were very capable beings, human beings. And then there was the angelic host. And Lucifer, he was the top of the tree, so to speak. And he was the one that took all the worship of the angels and creation and took it and perfected it and gave it to the Father, gave it to God. But then, what happened? You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. This is Ezekiel 28:14. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until wickedness was found in you. Then Isaiah 14. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you were brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. This is what happened, the fall. And it was huge in its implications. Satan, who was the most beautiful angel, it talks about him having all these wonderful jewels glistening all over him. He was beautiful. He was full of light. In fact, he looks as if he was an incredible light. He could have been the one actually who was created to be the light, and was the light before the sun and the moon came. Could have been. He was the bringer of light until he fell. And he fell, and a third of the angels fell with him. Now, you know all this. I'm just reiterating it. But it's important for us to understand what goes on, what's going on in the heavenly realm. We can't see it, but there's a war going on, and we're in the middle of it, actually. We don't realize. Lucifer fell, took with him a third of the angels. It could well be that they were the ones under his authority, and they chose to follow him rather than following God. And even though they had been in the very presence of God, and this is important, they saw God. They were in his awesome, incredible presence, and yet they still fell. They were still disobedient. Second Peter chapter 2 says this, speaking of people who go wrong, men who will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into a gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world where they brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what was going to happen to the ungodly. But if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for the righteous man living among them day by day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. Judgment came to the angels. And we'll come back to that. Something in Matthew 25 is very this. Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." So heaven, hell is for the devil and his angels. Revelation 12, verse 7 says this, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon," and that's Satan, "and the dragon and his angels fought back, but they were not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now has come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.'" So we can overcome. And the end, and it's good to remind the spiritual world, the ungodly spiritual world, that there is an end for them. their end is this, and it's in Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss, and locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. And then chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is the end for Satan and his minions, for those who have disobeyed God, for those who were actually in God's presence and they rebelled. That is the end. Tragically, because Lucifer, Satan, hates us human beings, he has dragged many, many with him. And the tragedy is that many have followed him rather than follow God. Hebrews chapter 6. This is a difficult passage. I haven't read this, have I? No. This is not easy. You know, this is actually saying that Christians who have known the Lord, who have had an experience of God, can fall away. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because by their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Tragic. This is what's happened. This is what's going on. Why is that? Why can't God do something about it? Well, he did right at the beginning of time. As he created, he had it all in plan. It's interesting, in Psalm 8 that was read to us, Eva read to us, it actually says, speaking about man, what is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man that you care for him, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. See, we human beings are made in the image and likeness of God. We are the pinnacle of creation, and we were created, Adam and Eve were created, just a little lower than the angels. But Lucifer and the angelic host knew that we were special, and Lucifer hated the thought that we would be destined to have a greater place in that relationship even than him. He couldn't stand it, and he got proud because of his beauty. He was proud because of all the worship that he received, that he was then to perfect and then give to Father God. He wanted it for himself, and so he fell. He hates us human beings. Yet, amazingly, God has actually used this that we human beings might become more than even we were as Adam and Eve. God always uses everything to his purposes. And even though it seems absolutely, disastrous in so many different ways, God has brought about his purposes so that we human beings who were created, Adam and Eve were tempted by Lucifer, and Lucifer only, he didn't tell them an outright lie, it was a half-truth. And they were deceived. And he has become the deceiver of men. And so Adam and Eve fell, they lost their place, they lost the the joy and the wonder of walking in the garden with Father God as a being, not a human being, but a being that they could walk with and talk with. They had that. And yet they failed. They fell. But in doing that, they, as Lucifer said, yes, all right, you can eat this fruit and you will have the knowledge of good and evil. And he was right. But he was tempting them to drag them down. God allowed them that they might repent and willingly turn and follow God. And right at the beginning of time, it was always God's plan that at a particular point in time, then he would come in the person of Jesus, and he himself would deal with all our sin there upon the cross. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about it, didn't I? Talked about what Jesus did. He took everything, all our pain and our suffering, everything, every sin, he took it to hell, dealt with, and rose again to demonstrate he has power over death. Jesus has done it all so that we now have that freedom to turn to Father, to return to Father. Now we can come to him knowing both good and evil, and we now choose to follow good and reject evil. We come with a choice. And we come now and become higher than angels. We have got authority over all the spiritual dimension, except Jesus, except God. We have authority. He has given us that authority under him. And we have that place once again, that now we can be drawn in to that wonderful relationship. Now, what's going on all around us? The spiritual realm. Remember that God the Father has got control over the whole spiritual realm. He allows it to do what it is doing for a time. We can see that in Job. We can see that actually the Father actually pinpointed Job to Satan, to Lucifer, and that as a result Job was persecuted, he was afflicted, but he didn't ever turn away from God, and as a result, going through all that trial and tribulation, he actually became a little bit better. There was a little bit of spiritual pride and maybe fear, and he repented and he became someone who was a bit better, someone who was more like Jesus. And that's the same for us. We have a spiritual war going on all around us. The forces of darkness are at work, and they have done a really good job of crushing us, dragging us down, tempting us, and doing a work on us. But God has put into place all that is necessary that we might be free, that we might be set free to become what we are supposed to be. We have angels, guardian angels, who look after us, who are with us. And we have someone who actually is interceding for us right now in the heavenly realm, right next to the Father. We have Jesus, the man Jesus, who is seated at the Father's side. And he is saying, that's how they feel. This is what they're going through. I know, I've experienced it. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out into all believers. And so we have a new, fresh ability. The early church knew all about it and walked in it, and there was many healings and deliverances, the many miracles, Even handkerchiefs had healing effect, and shadow falling over people, there was a healing. Some things incredible were happening. And then there was a great dark age until probably 1900 something, when something started happening again. The gifts of the Holy Spirit began to be more and more manifest within the church. First of all, what became known as the Pentecostal church, and then it developed, spread into the denominational churches. And churches all around the world began to understand and move in the things of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was at work. This spiritual dimension, the supernatural, was at work, and began to see churches, Christians, standing more and more against the forces of darkness, driving them back. And the church has never been bigger. The church of Jesus Christ is bigger than it's ever been. Not very much in this country. We've declined. Other parts of the world, huge increases, as I've told you before. God is at work. Father God is pouring out his Spirit. The forces of darkness are being pushed back. They're being squashed, but they are at work just the same. God is calling us to stand against them. He is saying, this is my fight, but it's your fight too. And he gave us all that we needed to do this. We've been set free. Our sin has been forgiven. If we've come to Jesus, if we've confessed our sin to him, then he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's done it for us as we confess. But he's also given us the Holy Spirit. And as we put on the armor, then God uses us. And he is calling us to go forward and defeat the enemy. I was going to put a blank screen up there with a dot in it, because I wanted to contrast it with what many people think. You know, there's that symbol which is sort of half, you know, and I think it's a Korean symbol, and it's sort of supposed to say the battle between good and evil. You know, the fight going on, an equal fight, black and white, and the good and evil. That's the perception that Satan wants to actually put over, and he's done a good job. Actually, it's much more like a huge white sheet with one tiny dot in the middle, and you can't hardly see the dot. That's more like it. And the dot is Satan and all his minions, and the huge white sheet is the glory and the power and the authority of our Father in heaven. You see, we have a Father in heaven who cares for us. He loves us. He looks at us with the Father's heart. And he is the perfect Father. He's not like our earthly fathers that let us down. He is the Father who loves us with an everlasting love. He is a Father who has created us, and he has molded us. And he looks into our lives and he says, oh, you're beautiful. I love you. And he sees us, you see, as we are supposed to be, as we will be. It may be like some of us now, you know, if we're in our prime and we're complete, you know, in every way. But some of us, it may be that, you know, we will be, I don't know, we will be made perfect on that day. But God sees us, Father sees us like that. And in the meantime, he is actually saying, my children, I want you to serve me. I want you to love me with every part of your being. This is the best thing you can do. I'm going to give you, I have given you all that you need. You've got all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's all there for you. Stand with my son and fight against the forces of darkness. And it's interesting, like I say, there's the Trinity. We are tripartite. There's an ungodly trinity as well. Did you know that? I have mentioned it before. It's Jezebel. What's under Jezebel? Deception, addictions, adultery, apostasy, broken marriages, drugs, false religion, feminism, Freemasonry, idolatry, incest, jealousy, occult practice, pride, sexual abuse, sexual sins, spirits of religion, witchcraft. They're all under Jezebel. And we need to stand against Jezebel. And we need to stand against Antichrist, because under Antichrist there is anger, anti-Semitism, bitterness, blasphemy, drunkenness, envy, hatred, fear, filthy language, Freemasonry, Islam, lack of faith, unbelief, lying, malice, Marxism, murder, nightmares, rebellion, rejection, stealing, unforgiveness, wretchedness. And then there's the third, death and hell. And under death and hell, there's breathing problems, condemnation, curses, fear, guilt, infirmity, pain, plagues, self-destruction, sickness, suicidal thoughts. This is the ungodly trinity that is at work amongst us, because we have an enemy who is seeking to drag us down. He can't take away our salvation. We can give it away. But what he can do is to drag us down so that we are not as effective witnesses. That's what he wants to do. He is out to distort. He's out to destroy. He's out to kill. He's out to do anything he can. And he will kill Christians if he possibly can, particularly if they're really powerful ones or that doing something for God. He will try. And sometimes God allows him. It's their time. God's plan, though. But we are taught to stand. We're told to stand against the force of darkness. We have all that is necessary. We have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have free will. We can choose. When we understand, when we see the truth, we have to decide to go for the truth, to follow the truth, to do away with anything else but the truth. And when we do that, we can then stand against the forces of darkness and tell it to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that authority. We're still learning. There's still much to learn. But God has given us that authority. And as we put on the whole armor of God, then we can stand. We can stand for the truth. Father wants us to do that. He has given us a task. He has got the whole of the universe in his hand. He has got all the spiritual dimension in his hand. We can't always see it. Some people have occasionally seen angels. Some people have seen spirits. Some people have seen manifestations they think are people or children or something. But they're not ghosts. They are evil spirits that can manifest themselves. They can take form. And I've seen it in people where evil spirits can actually distort people's faces and they look very different. This is a reality. We don't often see all the spirits around us. I think it's one of those things that we need to learn, discerning of spirits. But that's in it. We might not see it physically, but we will understand internally, because it is a gift of the Holy Spirit, that we would sense that this is what's going on. Father wants us to stand with him to defeat the works of the devil. That's what he is called Jesus to do. He invited Jesus to come. Jesus volunteered to come, and he came and he demonstrated his power, his authority over the world, the flesh, and the devil. He has defeated death and hell. He defeated Antichrist. He has defeated him. He has defeated Jezebel. He wouldn't stand in any of this, and he defeated what many of us think is the final enemy, death, and demonstrated that there is life after death. We are special in God's sight. We are the children of the Father, and he has got a purpose and a plan for us. He's given us this privilege of serving him. We are Christ's body here on earth. We are to be speaking his words into the world, his words of truth, his words of authority, his words of direction, so that we can play our part in building up the body of Christ, in building up one another, encouraging one another, standing for the truth, setting the captives free, so that we can be what God wants us to be. He looks at us, each one of us, and he sees us as perfect, wonderful, beautiful children. He wants the very best for us.